Lashana tova umetuka, for a good and sweet year. I could shorten it down for you. Lashana tova. Lashana tova. Lashana tova. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. You know, on December 31st, millions of people stay up until midnight to celebrate the new year. Celebrations often include festive gatherings and setting resolutions for the year ahead. But often, our enthusiasm for those resolutions fail. You remember, I'm going to go to the gym more often, and you made it 3 days, and then it's over. We settle back into familiar routines, and our destinies and our desires for new habits or new lives get lost in the grind. You know, wouldn't it be easier if we could just simply become new people? You know, like we go to bed, and then on January 31st, we have all this idea what it should be in a new person we want to be, and we wake up January 1st, boom! And we're already that person. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'd be skinnier. Not any good looking, but I'm already there. But is the point of New Year and its resolutions to become a new person or to change your life? What if a New Year's celebration wasn't about enforcing the next popular self-improvement plan, but about rediscovering who you already are? Within Judaism, the rediscovery event is called the Jewish New Year. Or we call it Rosh Hashanah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together as we glean from your word. Holy Spirit, move us, transform us, open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, that there may be wisdom from heaven, revelation from heaven that would bring transformation. We thank you for this new year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, Living Hope. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. In the Jewish New Year celebration, and it's usually September, October, which is the first of Tishri, according to the Jewish calendar, today synagogues around the world, actually it was like Saturday night today, okay, are celebrating all around the world Rosh Hashanah by reflecting on the year they've had. They eat sweet-tasting foods such as apples and honey, and I happened to see, thank you, Carrie, I looked out the back there and I saw apples and honey, and boy, I can't wait to jump back there and get some of that. And blowing of the ram's horn, the trumpet, called the shofar. Now, what some of you might not have realized is that on Rosh Hashanah, the rabbis would blow the shofar 100 times. 100 times to signal the beginning of the new year. And each blast of the shofar would be a little bit louder than the last, to create a sensory overload, if you will, of an experience that you could not avoid. 100 times of blowing the shofar. Rosh Hashanah becomes a signpost for Israel. It's like an invitation to turn away from the voices of the world that shame and threaten, and instead to turn our attention toward God, to remember who we already are beloved, beautiful, and very good. Like a compass pointing to humanity's true north, Rosh Hashanah says that the way to full and real life is not about perfect resolutions or anxious attempts to get somewhere better. Rosh Hashanah is about returning home, back to Sinai, back to Eden, back to the one who creates you and loves you. I don't know about you, but throughout the year, with all of the distractions, all the things that are happening, it's so easy to just kind of keep slipping away, slipping away, slipping away. So many times folks say to me, oh, well, you know, I was just away for a little bit and I was visiting some friends and next thing you know, it's one Sunday we're not here and then it's three Sundays and then it's, you know, I'll catch up with you. And our life just seems to be so distracted. Isn't it amazing that the only thing that it does is pull us farther from God? And the blowing of the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, Lashana Tova, is to remind us to come back home. How appropriate for this morning. You see, Rosh Hashanah 5784 is the Jewish New Year. The word Rosh, want to click the slide for me, please? The word Rosh is the Hebrew word for head. The word ha is a definite article, the, and shana means year, referring to the Jewish day of the new year. Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, is a moed. In the Jewish faith, moed is an appointed time. It is a celebration that everybody partakes in. It is a divine appointment to awaken to open door opportunities for your new year of your new beginnings. 8754. The Jewish letters all have numbers. Each letter has a number, each number represented by a letter. And so when we look at the year 5784, those numbers tell us something prophetically. Five is the number of grace. God is giving you grace during this season. Seven is the number of perfection. Setting things right, putting things right. How many of you know with the craziness and all the stuff that's going on with the government and everything else that's happening, we need things to be put back in order? God's word's promising that. Eight is the number for new beginnings. It's starting now. It's starting now. And the awesome number of it being four. Four is the fourth letter, Dalet. It means door. The new beginnings, that the doors are opening now. Rosh Hashanah 5784. May this be a year of his grace and perfection in Messiah for new beginnings to speak to and to walk through new doors of opportunity. I don't know about you, that was a great place for an amen. I mean, how much of that did you want? Well, that didn't sound it. It looked like you only took a little bit of a nibble of it. Right? May this year be a year of his grace and perfection in Messiah for new beginnings to speak to and to walk through new doors of opportunity. Amen. Oh, now you want a big slice. 84, a new door to go through and to shut old doors. But we need to ask ourselves a very important question. We need to ask if our plans line up with God's plan spiritually. How many of you know we can have a lot of plans of the things that we want to do, and they may not be those that God has desired for us? Isaiah 62, verse 10, it says this. Pass through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, raise a banner for the nations. That's a great word. So you know that stones can either be pavement for bridges or highways, or stones can be walls. Isn't it amazing that he's called us to pass through, to go through the gates, to prepare a way for someone else? Do you know that when we're concerned about someone else making it through the gate, we get to go through the gate? Is that just a thought, right? When we're helping someone else go through the gate, we go through the gate. And those stones can pave the way that we may enter in. But I also say, those stones can be the wall to stop you. It says to raise a banner for the nations. Do you know what the banner is? Jehovah Nissi is our banner. But you know what? It's activated by our words. We cannot walk through a gate of blessing if our words are of destruction and doubt. The doors will be open in 5784. That's why this new year is such an awesome new year. Your doors are being opened. For the word of God says, for the doors that you thought were closed, I can open. And for those doors that are open that shouldn't be open, I'll close them. You don't have to worry about it. You just have to believe it and step through it. The doors will be opening in 5784. It's a time to go through. And they will be voice activated. You cannot be an Eeyore and live a blessed life. Oh, me. It'll never work. It's never worked. Oh, great. Where's my tail? Do you know anybody that lives a life like that? Has anything changed for them? Mm-mm. It hasn't changed. Because they haven't changed. They haven't chose to walk through the doors that God is opening for them. And they don't understand that their words are the activation. God's word says, say grace, grace. And so many want to say, oh my, woe is me. I will speak by faith and walk in it. I will speak by faith and walk in it. Can you say that? I will speak by faith and walk in it. You know what's amazing? I could say that and you'll say, I'll speak by faith. You'll do that. In fact, just about every single person here will say, you know what? You're right, Pastor. I'm going to speak by faith. Remember, I'm building your foundations. We've had 1,700 years of poor theology. I'm trying to get us building good. Foundation. Agree with me? You'd speak by faith, right? I'll speak by faith. But how many people, that's about as far as it goes. You won't walk in it. And that's where the trouble is. God says, here's the door. He opens it up. He's like, oh, Lord, you're opening up the door. That's a great door, Lord. You're opening it up. Lord, you are the opener of doors. Thank you, Jesus, you opened the doors. Has anything changed? No, you know why? Because I haven't walked through it. You say it all the time, but if you don't walk through it, you don't receive the blessing of it. Do you see the church in that place? It's easy for us to say the things of God. I can open up my Bible and I can read it. I can profess it. But unless we're willing to walk through, unless we're willing to walk it out. My dad used to always have a saying, and when I was a little kid, I didn't quite get it. But then when I got old enough, I get it. He says, I don't care about the tongue in your mouth. I care about the one in your shoe. And I was like, what the heck? Because this tongue can flap all it wants, right? But the tongue of your shoe, that's where you're walking it out. Are you going to say it and that's it? Or are you going to say it and walk it out? So say this with me. I will speak God's ways by faith. And I will walk God's ways. Some of you said it like I almost believed you. Amen. Oh, there we go. We got somebody sealing it. So I was thinking about returning back to the one who created us. As a kid, we celebrated Rosh Hashanah. Some of you know my grandfather's Jewish. And so we celebrated Rosh Hashanah. And I started to think, returning back to the one who created us. A year of distraction and now focusing in a place where I'm going back to, what does God say? I thought about returning back to God's ways. Sharpen our spiritual knowledge to God's ways. Have you ever prayed that? It's like asking God for his wisdom. I want to sharpen my knowledge to God's ways. However, we become so distracted that we move away from God's ways. Has anybody ever found that? I'm just saying me. I can become so busy, I can forget God's ways. You know, sometimes, like all of you, you're all gifted and talented in something. Sometimes you can do things without even thinking about it, right? Some of you here are absolutely incredible cooks, chefs, and bakers. I have enjoyed the blessing of your gift. And yet, when I say, oh, how did you do that? You're like, oh, I just whipped it up. And yet for someone else, it takes us an hour to make minute rice. We struggle with boiling water. You see, God's giving us a gift. And sometimes, because we can do things well, we can get so distracted we veer away from God's ways. And it's only until we find ourselves in trouble do we go, God, how did I get here? God, fix this. God, everything's a mess. Okay, maybe you've never said that, but I've said that. Have you become so distracted that we've forgotten what God's ways are? Have we gotten to a place where we can do things really well that we don't even ask God to be part of it? Now, you know, I'm married to a very powerful spiritual lady. I can drive her to her knees by saying these words. Don't you worry, babe, I got it. No, no. Oh, Lord, Lord, this man you've given me. Oh, Lord, speak to him. That's the worst thing I could say is, don't you worry, babe, I got it. I got it? Oh, boy. Strap in. We're going for a ride. I then asked myself, I said, self? I usually call myself that. Self? What are God's ways? What are God's ways? And the first thing my mind focused on was the Ten Commandments. And this brought me to Exodus chapter 20. So you want to open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. And this is what it says. This is what Scripture says. And God spoke these words. And I was like, okay, I'm in the right place. And God spoke these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, I know there was a time that I read that, and the first thing that came to my mind was like, no, I'm not going to have a little statue or some little thing in my house or, you know, maybe like a little Buddha guy or some dragon or some unicorn or something like that. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to my mind, like some little statue thing, right? And the Lord just pressed upon my heart. He goes, that's not what I'm saying. You shall have no other gods before me. And I started to think, only you are God. Only you are God. But what happens when I choose my way of thinking, my way of acting, my way of speaking, my way of responding? I may want to choose my way over God's way? You see, if that's my choice, then I become God. I got to let that sit for a second, because it took me a second for that to sink in. If I'm choosing how I'm going to respond, if I'm choosing how I'm supposed to act, if I'm choosing the way I'm going to think, if I'm choosing the way I'm going to speak, if I'm the one that's making those choices in my life, I'm God. But the Scripture said, you shall have no other gods before me. Listen, I'm bringing you back down to foundational. I'm bringing you back because it's Rosh Hashanah, right? Lashana Tova. I'm bringing you back. Not so that you're going to change. I need to reset, just like the Jewish nations, as they reset and they come back and they remember who they already are. My choosing my way over God's way makes me another God. It makes me a God. Have we ever thought of it that way? I mean, like, really? Have you ever thought of that? Because most of the time we make a choice and we just think, hey, I made a choice. I have a right to make a choice. Do you know what? When I read my Bible, there's no rights. You don't have any rights. When you give your life to Christ, you now become part of a covenant, which then gives you blessing through the covenant. God's covenant. When God says, when God has his way, it's a perfect way. It's a righteous way. And instead, I decide to choose my way. am I not acting like a God? I mean, if I say I serve God and he's my Lord, how is it that I can choose my way over his way? Do you see how I'm presenting this to you? I'm literally showing you what I sat down and let the Lord speak to me about. So I could share it and bring it to you so that you can sit there and say, I never quite thought of it that way. And Lord, you're speaking to my heart right now about this. Because I could tell you, every one of us, including your pastor, I've wanted my way. Somewhere, sometime. Okay, maybe it was even this morning. But I'm just saying, we have to be on guard. Exodus 20 does state that you shall have no other gods before me. And I believe that includes us. In a believer's life, there's no room for his way and my way. There's only one way, Yahweh. That was pretty good. If we're holding on to our ways, is it possible for us to receive and embrace his ways? I mean, picture that. If we're holding on to our ways, look with my hands. Mine hands are not open receiving from the Lord because I'm holding on to my belief, my want, my desire, my need. Rosh Hashanah is a reminder of who we are in Christ. A reminder to return to his ways and not our ways. To close the doors that we have created and to step in and through the doors that he has opened. It is through these open doors that Christ has opened that we can reach for the anointing of God. A door which brings new manner, new wine, new power, new revelation, new opportunities. His way. Revelations 21:4, and I'm just going to read these. You can write them down. You can look them up later on your own. Revelations 21:4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning or crying or pain, for the older order of things has passed away. That's his way. For I have made you a new creation. Old things have passed away. Old things and old ways have passed away. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For it is my ways that opens doors, says the Lord. For the things I have for you, says the Lord, are good. Step into my presence and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. God doesn't keep things from you. He's not punishing you to show you. It's your choices. Remember, if you make your choices, you're the king. And if you made bad choices, that's not his problem. You made the choice. Psalms 105, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalms 106:1, praise the Lord, give him thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And this is what the Lord put on my heart when I read this, because I want you to hear the Lord is good. This is what he said to me. How can I bless that which is not from me? And I said, Lord, the Lord would say, you ask me to move on your behalf, yet you do not honor me. Do you hear the heart of the Lord this morning? How can I bless that which is not of me? You ask me to move on your behalf, yet you do not honor me. If it's not God's way, it's another God. I want this year, the Jewish New Year, 5784, to be your year, a year of grace, a year of perfection, new beginnings and new opportunities for you and your families. But to do this, we must rediscover who we are and whose we are. We cannot handle finances with our own thinking and in our own desires, void of God's commands on how to handle finances, and then believe somehow when we cry out, say, oh, God, bless us financially, we would require him to do it. How is it that you cannot handle your finances God's way? How do you rob me? You rob me in the tithe. I'm not here because we need the money. I'm here to saying that could it possibly be that you're being God over your finances and you're doing it your way, but then when there's not enough, you want to blame him. You want him to bless your seed, but you're not sowing any seed. Do you understand how this thinking? This is what's happened to our world. We think God is some kind of genie that we rub the lamp. Give me this Jesus. Give me this God. Give me this Holy Spirit. And they're supposed to bow down and say, oh, you ask. Oh, we'll give you whatever you want. Hey, if you're God, you're responsible. If he's God, he's responsible. Your way or his way? Yahweh or the highway. How can I bless that which is not of me, says the Lord? We involve ourselves in ungodly relationships and behavior. The Word of God is very clear how we're supposed to behave. The Word of God is very clear on how we're supposed to act. But guess what? Even within God's people, lust, fornication, homosexuality, transgender, and when relationships are falling apart, when relationships are not wholesome and uplifting and encouraging and in strengthening by family values, God's values, by the way, and we cry out and ask God, fix this relationship. I ask again. How can he bless that which is not from him? We are celebrating Rosh Hashanah 5784. We're not making new resolutions. I'm bringing you back to our God. What does he say? I would dare say that if we did it his way, we'd actually might find out we're a lot more blessed, a lot more happy, a lot more effective. I can go through each of these. Want me to talk about your time? Do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. But how many people, you know, hey, well, if it's a crappy day, I guess I'll go to church. If it's a good day, ooh, yeah. Might get this last weekend in to ride the boat. Now, is there anything wrong with the boat? No, the disciples had them. But the point is, what are we doing with our time? God has ordained a purpose and a plan for your time. And when you invest your time like a seed in God's word, there is blessing. But when you're not doing it God's way because you want to be the God, then don't complain when you don't feel like you have enough time, you don't get things done, your relationships are going apart, you don't have enough finances. If you have a problem, look at the king who's been making the decisions. Just saying, okay? I went from preaching to meddling. A lot of you are just looking at me now, so I'm going to go right back to my notes because I'm losing friends, but I'm not here to be your friend. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. But what are you doing with your time? You can't go spend it in the bars, then complain you don't have the money. Can't complain you can't remember squat, getting in accidents. What about your health? What about the talents God's given you? I could go down the list, because you know what? In here, it tells you exactly how to be blessed in every area. But if we don't know this and we get distracted, do you see how easy it is to become the God? And the Word of God says you should have no other gods before me. Now, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, then this, you don't have to listen to any of this. But if we say that we're a believer in Jesus Christ and God Almighty is our Lord and our Savior, and we're following the Lord, we really don't have a say. But if we want to be blessed, His ways always produce blessing. Always produce blessing. If we are choosing to do it our way, then we are God. And the responsibility of its outcome is ours and ours alone. But this has not been God's desire. That's the good news this morning. This is not God's desire, right? So 5784, we're celebrating Rosh Hashanah, and we're coming back to the realization who we are in Christ. Amen? He has a perfect plan for you. Do you know that even though we've made poor choices, God still has a perfect plan for you? His arm is not too short that He cannot reach. That's the Word of God, by the way. He loves you, and He desires the best for you. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Amen. Do you see it? Do we get it? He knows the plans He has for us. We just got to spend time with them to find out what they are. His plans, His ways. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Instead of convincing God to do it our way, we might actually find out that there is blessing, provision, protection, and power doing it His way. Amen. Some of you are getting it. If we truly say that He is our Lord and Master, as believers, as disciples of Christ, I believe we will receive that blessing when we embrace His ways. May this Rosh Hashanah 5784 be the year that we decide that we will rediscover who we are in Christ. That we would rediscover the Holy Spirit in us and through us. That we would rediscover His ways bring life and prosperity, and that we would choose to realign our lives with His word rather than trying to align His word with our life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.